Hey gang, Christmas is drawing near, and if you live in Austin and you have a musician on your Christmas list and you're tired of hearing them practice in your garage or in your living room, you can get them a gift certificate to Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious, soundproof rooms that are incredible and not your living room or garage. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Space, rehearsal, and recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Welcome to the show. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. Calliope Musicals is here. You can find them at calliopemusicals.com. They are easily... Okay, this is a band so colorful in spirit that if you closed your eyes... Well, actually, you're just going to be hearing them. You will get the technicolor of their spirit. That's the truth. Yeah, Calliope Musicals, great guys. They came by kind of in waves. A couple of them showed up first, then a couple of them showed up in the middle. They have a new album called Time Owes You Nothing, which is coming out in April of 2016, this spring. But they recorded it at the legendary Sound City Studios, the one that Dave Grohl made the documentary about, where all the big albums were made. Yeah, even Rick Springfield made an album there, right? Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Damn the Torpedoes was made there. And Calliope Musicals' Time Owes You Nothing, available in April, was made there. All right, so these guys came by, Carrie, Matt, Chris, and Josh. We had a fantastic conversation. You might have seen them at the Joshua Tree Festival, Utopia Fest, or ACL. They're an incredibly entertaining band, great music. You can find them at calliopemusicals.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Great conversation, very entertaining, very zany. Great for the end of the year, great for the holidays. Maybe if you're out there shopping in some stressed out situation, you're listening to this podcast, it will make your shopping time, you'll laugh out loud. You'll have a good time, all right? So enjoy my conversation with Calliope Musicals coming up in just a second. First, let me tell you what's going on with me. I am in a holiday red alert. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have it all together. I've got a finite amount of time. I've got to play this solo gig. Got to go to Houston, play with Skyrocket. Then I'm there with the family. So I got to kind of have my shopping done by the end of today. Or beginning of tomorrow. Maybe I get a day next week, a free day to pick up some loose ends. Oh God, it's so stressful because you want to get the right thing for people. You know, you don't just want to get gifts. Oh hey, I got you this thing. It's a sweatshirt. Not that I mean I would love a sweatshirt, but I'm like, I don't know if you would love a sweatshirt, cousin or grandma. So yeah, I'm out there. I'm looking at things and trying to get my presents all together. Wrapping up the podcast, doing intros for the shows next week because it's kind of going to kind of be on autopilot. Although, do have some great shows for you next week for the Christmas week. The Trishas will be on the show. Yeah, that's been a long time coming. I've been trying to get them on since 2011, since I started this show, and it took only almost 450 episodes to get them on. So the Trishas will be on Tuesday, and then Casey Monahan on Christmas Day. I don't know if you guys know who Casey Monahan is, but he used to be the music director for the state of Texas. And he talks about what it was like to serve under Governor Richards, Governor George Bush, Governor Rick Perry. He's no longer the guy. I met the new guy the other night at a thing, and he seemed nice. He knew who I was. I don't know why I judge people like that, but like, oh, you know who I am? All right, you must be okay. But it's always nice to not have to explain who you are. Oh, yeah, Johnny, good to meet you finally. That's what he said. Finally? Or nice to finally meet you? I don't know. But he said something, felt good. I felt like, okay, this guy knows me. So the state is aware probably of this podcast. Maybe the governor. No, the governor doesn't listen to this podcast, man. Who am I fooling? Anyway, Casey Monahan on Friday. Great conversation. Christmas Day. All right, I don't know what you're doing on Christmas. Let me know. Year-end you know, lists of like the best songs and the best albums of the year coming out. And I sort of have been compiling my own on Spotify, something that I like, which I'll release next week. Go to the Facebook page, How Did I Get Here Facebook page, like it, and I'll post a Spotify playlist of what I like this year on both, check it out, on both the level of people that weren't on the show. I'm going to do two lists. Hey, these are the songs that I liked most this year, just in general, and then another list. Hey, this is what I liked most in 2015 on the podcast. I've had some great acts on the show. Including today's guest, Calliope Musicals. Great conversation with these guys. I want to thank them for coming by and taking the time. Get out there and find them at CallioPeMusicals.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud. Their new album, Time Owes You Nothing, will be out in April. But get involved with them now and enjoy my conversation with Carrie, Matt, Chris, and Josh. They're known as Calliope Musicals. Let's get down.
I was walking alone, I was scooting real slow, just dragging my feet. Couldn't hear the songs, couldn't sing along, and it was swinging me. I got to find my dancing shoes. I got to find my dancing shoes.
No.
Not regularly enough.
Not regularly enough to expertly dodge gravel, but
is that what it was? It was a gravel situation.
Spilled out
all the gravel. I just
bike a lot though.
We bike. We live like over on the east side, like by Whitehorse, so we can like kind of go anywhere on a bike, like within a reasonable radius. Mm-hmm. So we don't bike a lot. Like I'm not super great at it or like spandexy, but
do you guys enjoy the nightlife?
You know,
is that fly? That fly's gonna bum you out.
It's not the right life. It's my life.
We do. We get a little too. Well, it kind of gets exhausting because there's like the things you need to go out and do, and there's the things you want to go out and do.
Yeah.
So.
And living so close to downtown, we don't really have an excuse
to
not go.
It's hard to say no.
If our friends are playing or anything like that.
Yeah,
especially because the rest of the band will just show up at their house and force them to get off the couch.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is. So, it is and it isn't.
Yeah, it's hard to say no, so we usually find ourselves.
Is it tough to wrangle six people to do
obviously.
Stuff?
Yeah.
These three are almost always down and available because we're like jobless heathens, but the rest of them lead slightly busier lives.
What do the other guys do?
Matt works for a moving company right now. He's our rhythm guitar player and singer. He's who I started the band with a long time ago. Craig is a dad.
What the fuck does Craig do?
I don't know what Craig does.
He's
no
a
one
dad.
Knows what Craig
Craig's
does.
A dad.
Well, Craig is a dad, but he also
how
like
how old is the is
38?
No, the child.
Oh,
it'd be awesome. His kid's 38.
The kids
38. He's 70.
The kids are like
eight.
No.
They're like 12 or something.
We don't know how to age kids.
They're
probably
young,
about
but not
like,
too young.
Well,
they're like 9 and 12 about.
My favorite thing about Craig's kids, I'm probably getting in trouble for telling a story, but we're
are we gonna do the shaky quiz?
We're playing Sound and Cinema with Duval Montu and all that, and it was the same night as Shaky Graves was playing Blues on the Green, and we were like, no one's gonna come to Never Ending Story, like we're so nervous.
Just freaking
Shaky
ourselves
Graves.
Out.
And we were in the car, and someone said something about it, and Craig's daughter, who has the most adorable little speech impediment, goes, Shaky Graves is playing tonight? And we were all just like, even Craig's own flesh and blood.
Yeah. If she could have walked herself to their show, she would have.
Yeah, she totally would have.
That's funny. Did you guys play, you said you played along with Neverending Story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that? You played along, or before the movie, or after the movie?
Yeah, before the movie.
When we heard about the Sound and Cinema thing, we were like really excited to do a movie, and I think the first thing I thought of was doing Neverending Story. I didn't really know what it was, so I was like, I thought we would actually score the movie, so they would present it silent, and we would like score the whole thing, which would have been way too much work for us to ever pull
off.
No,
man,
but
they
it
wanted
so
to
cool.
Re-score the movie.
It's
exactly,
gonna be
exactly. It was totally idiotic.
Jack's not
and so I sent him this whole pitch, like, oh, that's really cool, but you could do all that in like a set beforehand,
right?
And then there's Craig, and
come
then
on
you
in.
Can and then we'll just show the movie. And
I was like, well, Craig.
That's cool too. Yeah. Yeah. The fuck do you guys get your pants, man? This is...
There was a ladies' clothes swap at my house, and hey, so buddy. I just grabbed these. These are underwear.
How you doing? I'm Johnny.
Craig.
I like it when we meet on the show.
Yeah.
No, it's very cool.
So organic.
Hold on, let's try and do this.
Oh, I can truly stand.
I'm going to pause this for a second.
I actually don't know anymore.
He asked us who had jobs, and we said, Craig's a dad.
Which is a job.
Well, yes.
It's a pretty legit job.
Does it pay well? Cause
how old are your daughters? Watch your
kids.
They are 10 and 12 years old.
There you
old.
Go.
I said 9 and 12.
Okay. Do they go like, oh, Dad, are you going to wear those pants again to HEB?
Yes.
Are they like, no. Oh, cool, that's
they
my dad
actually,
pants.
They really like this kind
okay,
of
good,
stuff.
Okay, good,
like,
good,
They were the ones when we played that picnic festival during South by Southwest. Where
2512 Family?
The 2512 Family fun. Festival. They were the ones like, you're going to wear the unicorn suit at the show, right? And I was like, yeah, since you aren't asking me.
Of course
sure,
I am.
I figured they'd be embarrassed by it, but they are not. They
That's pretty
like,
cool.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Well, it's like the illusion. It's like our friend Lauren, her father growing up, convinced her that he was in fact Tom Petty. And so anything that he did was like the coolest thing ever. And finally she's like 13. She's like, wait a minute. You can't actually be Tom Petty. And he's like, yeah, no, that was a lie. But
that's
like,
hilarious.
It's a similar thing.
He looked like Tom Petty.
He's a rock star. Like, whatever.
I had this manager that used to tell his kids that like they would go to any movie like Braveheart and there'd be a bunch of guys in the background. He goes, look, that's me. In the back.
That's awesome. Yeah. We'll start doing that.
The most prevalent extra in the world. Yeah. My dad's in every
movie. Like, yeah, that's me in the back there fighting that guy. So you guys just recorded an album, but it's not coming out until April?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you did it in the historical Sound City.
We did. Yes.
What was that like?
It's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a couple of days just to like get over the whole... Wow, I cannot.
Yeah,
wow,
just stop being
I'm
like,
not just standing
so...
in here. I'm actually
like,
playing yeah. something.
So I don't want to breathe and affect any of the dust in here, but we're supposed to make music at some point, and that's terrifying me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just walking into that room. You know, like, some places with a lot of history, you can sometimes feel it, and I've heard people say that, but I never really thought a recording studio could hold that kind of, you know, shock and awe for me. I remember walking into Studio 1A, and it just floored me. I just had to sit there and just be like, this is... Amazing.
So there's more rooms there than just...
Well, there's Studio A and B, and they're actually our engineer, kind of like B was like his baby that he was building out.
Okay.
And then A was like, I think, the original tracking room.
And your guy was Kevin...
Algunas.
Algunas.
Although we like to call him Algunas.
How did you guys hook up with him?
Because
you're a relatively new band, right?
Yeah, we harassed him.
Really?
I just we kind of decided who we wanted to work with and just started hitting him up. I think he's like the only producer we hit up for the album, I think.
Yeah. And it's not like we chanted his name on tour or anything.
It's like not that. Like we did that ever.
Nothing weird happened.
Did you do
nothing
that?
There were
weird.
No seances
there
or candles.
No, of course not.
You guys did tour, right? You just went out to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Joshua Tree Festival.
Yeah, Joshua Tree is amazing.
Best
it's so beautiful.
Ever.
What kind of? Do you guys have a van?
We do. We have a Sprinter.
Oh,
van.
Good.
Yeah. We did our 40-day tour a couple years ago. The first time we played Joshua Tree, we did that in a Suburban with a trailer.
Oh.
And there's six of us, and it was.
It
was really
there.
Tough.
It was okay. It was okay.
I missed that Suburban.
It was fun. It was fun. It was really
a learning experience, and we all came together
in
such a nice way.
Yeah.
The first tour was the best just because everybody brought way too much stuff.
Yeah, it's just every single day, like, wherever I was sitting was, like, a mountain of clothes, and I was just like, people would complain about it, but I'd be like, I keep it in my little hole, like, and it would just move around the van with me.
Carrie set up a closet in the back of the Suburban that had, like, a rack with, like, for hangers and stuff so we could hang up all our clothes.
We had
and
no
Josh
idea.
Josh loved that.
We had no idea what we were doing.
I want the hangers.
No clue.
What do you play, Josh?
I play the drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got, I mean, you...
I compartmentalize things, and so when everything else is scattered about everywhere, it kind of... destroys me.
It's funny that if you meant that not physically but emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Well, like and physically too. I pack the car too. So
I feel like there is something. That's the rhythm section. That's like the ones always packing.
Yeah.
Andrew and Josh are the packer extraordinaires.
Yeah.
Josh is the same way. You're kind of the same way musically. Like you want things to be like. Like, this needs to be like this, and it needs to work with this and this. Otherwise, what's the point of doing
it? Well, it's a good thing to have a drummer that thinks like that, because if you had a drummer that wasn't thinking 1, 2, 3, and was thinking like red, blue. You know what I mean?
The guy was like, tempo, man. You know. Then you get Mitch Mitchell, so it works out.
Maybe so.
He also does, like, he, like, took the Sprinter and kind of built it out so that we have, like, a little place to sleep. When we were in the studio, we spent most of our nights in the Sprinter. And
Ocean Park Boulevard.
Yeah, we would park, like, right next to the beach and just sleep in our van.
We were probably half a mile away from Santa Monica Pier.
Wow.
Just right on the beach outside the showers and bathrooms on the beach. And
so it was perfect. You wake up, get your coffee.
Go for a morning run.
Yeah.
Jump in the ocean if you want.
Sliding that Sprinter door open and like some mom or somebody was walking these chihuahuas like dressed in like pink outfits and she looks right and I'm just like half naked laying. We're like, oh, it's so hot.
It's She's so
like,
hot. I'm in the
get out of my Santa Monica Beach.
Dirty, stinky hippie band.
How did you end up? I mean, how did you get the? Are you guys signed to a label?
No, we are not.
No,
did you do like a Kickstarter? Or did you just
no?
One we had guy help. Really worked.
We just
hard.
Had help from had help. Friends and family.
Yeah. So
that's always good, man. It's fortunate to be able to do that.
Yeah,
it was. It
helped
out a lot.
Felt really lucky.
And
really lucky.
You know what we got out of it? We're really proud of. So.
Yeah, your record like is great, by the way. I've been
thank
listening
you very much.
To it.
Oh,
yeah,
thank
yeah.
You.
I'm sorry that it doesn't come out until April. What can I play when I play this? You got a lot of other stuff on SoundCloud.
Well, there's a new song, yeah. Party Master and the Space Brigade. We recorded that with Frenchie Smith for
fantastic.
Raw Paws Alien compilation album.
Fantastic.
And it's really fun.
How'd you like working with Frenchie?
Oh my gosh, it was
so
a blast.
Exciting.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I'll never forget when he lit a fart on fire to break the tension. It was amazing.
Frenchie.
I was like really stiff and couldn't play this guitar solo. And said, you just gotta chill out, man. You just gotta like take it easy. Just like watch this. And just like leans back and just farts and lights a fart on fire. And I was like, you're insane. Let's record.
He is three phenomenal.
He said that.
Said fart?
Yeah.
Fart?
I
Carrie
hate that
loves
word.
Well,
farts.
Let me just tell you something.
Farts all the time.
I'm trying to remember the story, but Frenchie told me a story, a fart story here.
Oh,
why is this a
we're
thing?
Go down the rabbit
hole.
Yeah. No. Common.
Frenchie Smith fart stories.
Yeah.
I want to be hiding hashtag. In the bathroom right now and be like, all right, let's talk about this.
Yeah, it was fun being with someone. He's so energetic, and I think a lot of times we feel like we're like excited puppy dogs. We're like, oh, like we want to do all this stuff. And we usually kind of feel like losers, but Frenchie was like definitely on our level as far as like being super pumped and having a ton of energy, and so it made it really fun.
Yeah,
he's great.
That's funny that you say that. I remember I was in a band, and we were having a tent situation, and we were asked to play some benefit, and we asked Frenchie to just come and play with us as well. Awesome. And just at rehearsal, he was jumping off of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and everyone all of a sudden was friends after we played with Frenchie again.
Awesome.
Yeah, he brings good. He brings a good vibe.
Yeah.
So, how was it working with Kevin?
It was. It was we learned a lot. It was
intense.
It was very intense. Yeah, it was 3 weeks we were there, and we're all really close. And I think it's really lucky that we, you know, we I think we have our own little like weird twisted like family support system in the band. And so I think that got even like tougher and stronger.
That's great.
It was fun. We learned so much. Like, we went into it being a band who wrote our music for live shows. And, you know, every time we came up with, like, something to put in our songs, it was like, oh, and then, like, we'll do this, and the audience will do this, and it'll be this awesome thing. And it was kind of it was a great opportunity to get out of that mindset and be like, you know, we're in a different place where we don't know anyone, and we're just recording this music for a total different environment. And it's not like us like sweating and dancing with all of our friends and like fans.
Someone maybe just happening across a song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So,
you guys learned how to make a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And working with the two different producers was really great. two different styles of how to go through things. I'm sure there's 10 more styles out there.
Yeah, there are. You know, I talk about that a lot with people because there is that difference in style. And I know that Frenchie, Frenchie's a songwriter. Frenchie's a musician.
He's very hands-on.
He's very hands-on. Mm-hmm. And when he goes in, he'll tell you if your song isn't working. Mm-hmm. And try and get it to be a better song. Some guys just like are there because they know when shit sounds cool,
right? Yeah. And that's you know exactly Kevin. That's Kevin would go
sit on his phone until he heard something.
I mean, few times like this isn't working. You need to change it. But he's a big picture guy. He wouldn't tell you what you needed to do to change it.
Right.
He just said change it. And so, what could be perceived as maybe a lack of involvement on his part, which was something that we, at times we would have difficulty with. I think we suddenly realized that. He just pushed us to bring out something better than what we had before. And that was, because of that, I feel like the album is really ours in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
totally.
He did push us in the right direction, but we were ultimately the ones that changed it to what it is now.
Yeah.
And I think we're all pretty happy with it.
I don't know if this was the experience, but when you're telling me this, I'm imagining like this guy's like, okay, well, yeah, you got me, and you're here in this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that is so much.
He had
much
such
so.
Like a pedigree about him that we were really intimidated. And so it was really interesting. We would come in, and he'd be like, well, that doesn't work. And we're like, okay, well, what do you want us to do? He goes, well, I don't know, it doesn't work. And so it just forced
different.
Everybody in the band just like freak out. And all of a sudden, I saw these six people who would, normally if it was a different producer, be like, well, what should we do now? We would all have to go and just kind of like bond together. And I've really never seen the group so self-aware and involved, and it was really cool what he kind of brought out by doing that to us.
Yeah, it was
that's
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, our friend and travel companion Jerry, who
Confetti Cat.
He's Confetti Cat. He shoots confetti and dances around, and he stayed with us for 2 weeks of the three and filmed and hung out with us, and he was like, I kept like apologizing. I know. I just was like constantly like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, like honestly, like I know a lot of bands that I know would have like broken up after 1 week of this stuff. Like, you're great. Yeah. Like, so it was encouraging having him there as kind of this outside source from, he was definitely more outside the band than he is now. He's a lot closer part of it now, but at that point we didn't know him as well. He just like knew us through our shows and stuff, and so it was like it was comforting having him there every now and then to be like encouraging and like, let's go chill for a while, talk to someone that's not.
It's nice to also have
out.
Like a little piece of home when you're out there. I mean, mm-hmm. I've gone out there and made records, and you're just out there for a long time.
It's
and
weird
then
vibe.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. You do really bond with your band though.
Yeah.
Like your band gets a lot closer because you kind of all you have.
We used to have meetings like every night on the beach. We would like buy
meetings.
A bottle of whiskey and go sit on the beach where we parked the car and just like there would be like yelling and like
good nights and bad
running around the beach bad. And like pushing each other and like getting in the water and
that liquor store near the beach got a lot of our business.
A lot of business.
I remember exactly where it is
that
too.
That first
when exactly
night.
It was like.
Yeah. Oh, that one spot. Yeah. The most intense of all the beach meetings was the day we picked up Jerry from the airport. And I remember that morning being like, okay, this guy Jerry Sparkman, who like, he was just this guy Jerry Sparkman. We didn't really know him all that well at the time. He's not like our best friend who he is now. But we're just like, okay, a videographer's coming to hang out with us. I don't, like, no one think about that. We have to keep on like doing what we're doing. And so that night we just got wasted on the beach and yelled at each other. And I'll never forget Craig being
Craig's like, you're not filming this. Are you
filming
all this?
Jerry's like, nah.
No.
Click.
Not.
That red light means
it's off. Me and Terry had literally just tackled each other.
Yeah, it was fun though, and I definitely got into it. I mean, I don't think I really talked to anyone from home outside of like checking on our dog, because it was just like so easily like getting into this like, we were just in this weird bubble where we were like speaking a different language, thinking different things, because it was like we were at work. So it was like even when we are like leaving the studio, we know like, okay, well, we have to go home and like rewrite this verse. So like Craig would spend like hours on our day off, like just like playing synth and playing keys and like figuring out new parts. It was just like pretty
24/7 intensive, but it was fun.
It's cool though, because you notice those things. It's like when you first rehearse as a band, there's like a growth curve, and it's very gradual. And then you start playing shows, and you grow a little bit faster because you got to get your shit together, you know. And then when you go into one of these sort of like everybody goes to California, and all of a sudden you're in like the big people studio with the big people working people, and then all of a sudden in 3 weeks you probably grew almost more than you did as a band probably the whole time.
It was like growing up again all over again. You know, you're a kid in high school and you're like, oh, I know everything. You get to college, you're like, shit, I don't know anything. It's just like that. We got there and we're like, shit, we don't know anything. It was really inspiring. It was weird.
What was weird was right after we were done recording, we played a we started a tour back to Texas, and like we played like a show almost right away after we were done recording, and it was like one of the weirdest. It felt so strange because like it was just we hadn't played live in so long. We'd just been like playing, you know, stuff in the studio for so long. It was just kind of like, whoa, this is what it's like to play a live show again. Okay, this is it's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
We're very much on, you know, on the click in the cans.
Yeah.
And then we get to a live setting, and we didn't have that for 3 weeks, you know, the live setting and playing in front of people and the energy coming in and going out. And in the studio, it's a little more, there's energy, but it's very trained and
I need to see you guys because I've heard your name, but now that I've gotten into your music and seen videos and shit, so it's just crazy.
It's crazy. It's a fun time.
Even arguably too crazy at that first show out of the studio. We completely had all this pent up energy and just freaked out.
That guy walked up with this cabbage and I just like,
oh yeah, this guy had a cabbage in the audience.
Like, he was quite intoxicated, I think.
So he was super drunk. We were all
playing at a 12.
He had this like raw cabbage and he brought it up and like gives it to me and I just like take a giant bite out of it and I'm immediately like,
I thought you were like mad.
I swallowed the first bite.
You know what's so funny is that's kind of like the way that Ozzy bit the bat.
Yeah.
You know, like right. That is the Kurt Russell version of the bat bite. Is the cabbage.
It's the PETA version of biting the bat.
I'm vegetarian, guys. I don't want to eat bats.
And then the guy vegetarian wanted his cabbage back too after that.
I remember that. I can't wait to put it on stage.
He wanted it back.
Yeah.
Who? What? Why are you? I mean, that just sounds like a joke. Like a guy walks into a bar with a cabbage.
It was weird. Yeah. What's the punchline? Nobody knows.
There was no punchline.
Carrie bites it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had friends from high school. That was seen. Weird. It was weird.
It was a weird night. It was fun though.
Where are you guys all from?
I'm from East Texas, Northeast Texas.
Fort Worth.
All right.
Yeah. I'm from Boston, Texas.
Boston,
Texas.
New Boston.
Do you like that? Is that a better medium?
I'm from Dallas. I've been here for 20 years, though. So
okay.
Yeah.
But have you been in bands for a while? Because I feel like I know you. Do you know me?
No, I have not. This is the first band I have ever been in.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do before that, Greg?
He was the manager of the Circle Jerks for like 10 years.
No shit?
No.
Oh, dude, I love when people do that. That is so funny because you know what? My band, we just lost our road guy. Hold on, I'll get back to this because this is really funny. It goes along with this. Mm-hmm. And we did this, we made a big deal about saying goodbye to him. We made a cake with his face on it and shit and gave it to him on stage. And he was going because he's managing like All Star Burger. So that's why he quit our band. I said he was going to be manager of the rock band Vallejo. You know, everybody congratulate him. And he was like, the guy that ran the place was the one to Wimbledon Bar. He was like, dude, thank God you're working with them because I've been trying to get
him. Oh my God.
Okay, so sorry. So what did you do before this?
Just office jobs and being a family man and stuff.
Did you have a specialty in the office job? Like, are you a computer guy? Or are you a...
Oh, like, just clerical bullshit. Customer service, clerical bullshit.
Okay. You know. And you have a couple of kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're married?
No.
No. Okay.
I have a girlfriend that I live with, but...
Okay.
She makes kick-ass cakes. She's awesome.
Yeah. She what?
And she makes awesome cakes with Sugar Mama's Bake Shop. She also makes us really cool refrigerator magnets.
Oh, nice.
That have our band name on them.
So that's cool. So what all do you guys... You guys have an EP out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have an EP... two EPs and a full length that we did... One EP and a full length that we did with old lineups, and then one EP with our current lineup.
We actually have a new EP coming out in December called The Free EP.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's going to be a free EP with some like demos from the album that's coming out, some live tracks, and that Party Master and the Space Brigade. And
okay.
Yeah.
Like a warm-up to a release.
And when does the Party Master and the Space Brigade come out?
That's already out. You can hear that now. Yeah.
Okay.
The Free EP is just kind of a compilation, mostly with like some live tracks that we did. And then that Alien song is kind of a
digital download.
So now, right now, I guess in the... Sorry, somebody's writing me and I didn't turn my phone down. Right now, you're kind of being pulled back in a... you made the record. You're... Obviously, you have a booking agent. You have a manager. You guys are making your 2016 plans for when it comes out, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. Is there... are you guys pretty involved in it?
Yeah.
In the business part of it?
Super,
okay.
Super involved.
It's how does one in 2016 approach releasing an album to make it feel like it matters to someone?
We are probably not the people to ask. We're trying to figure it out right now.
Yeah, I think our idea is to create as much content as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Make it readily available so that... We're a very visual band live.
Yeah.
And we like to really put it out there, and we try to express that through our music as well. But I feel like in today's industry with the internet and everything like that, having visual representation as well to go along with things is really well. So we're trying to get a lot of music videos. We did a coloring book with several different artists.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I'm excited come out. About that.
Each song was given to a different artist, and they did drawings of each song or based off each song, and it'll actually come inside of a like the hard case of a vinyl, and you like pull the pages out of it. But just trying to do fun visual things.
That is awesome. Like that is that's really creative.
Well, our friend Billy did this awesome coloring book, Weird Destiny Productions. They put together this badass coloring book with like Jacqueline Denton, Oliver Hibbert, Wayne Coyne did a page in it, and it's really cool. And he did a compilation album to go along with that. And so we kind of took that idea because it's like, I love my coloring book. I color in it on tour, at home all the time. So I loved the idea of like being able to bring this like colorful visual aspect.
Where are you from? Are you from Tyler?
Henderson.
Is that close. Near Tyler?
Yeah. It's like 40 minutes away.
Okay.
What Josh was saying though, it is really a challenge for us, but it's an awesome challenge to try and, how do we take like a CD that's just, 12 tracks and do something
that, I mean, are you even gonna make release. You're gonna make CDs?
Yeah, it'll be
we're
CDs.
CDs. We're doing vinyl.
And, like, short of like dropping out of a blimp over downtown, how do you do something like cool?
Yeah,
with
yeah.
So you stand apart.
Yeah.
So our record release, we're doing a big focus on like a performance art aspect of everything. So the band will be like really focused on the music. It'll be a different vibe from our like sweaty, chaotic, maniacal shows, and be a little more toned down on the band's end. But we are having like dancers participate, costume designers, like decorations for the songs, projections. So it'll be a little more focused on like outside interpretations of visual art.
That's awesome.
Music. Yeah, I'm excited. We're in kind of the planning phases of all that right now, which is I'm glad the record's coming out in April. We have a little bit more time.
Yeah, I remember when we first
for a while we're freaking out. For a while we're freaking out. Now we don't have to freak out.
Do you have plans for festivals for next year as well? Because it seems like, from what I've seen, you seem like a band that in the current state of things would be a festival go-to. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's all we ever want to be.
That's what we want to do, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have festival plans. There's nothing super concrete for 2016, but I think we definitely have... a wish list. There's one festival that we played last year called Evolve up in Nova Scotia that our friend Neil Frid. Oh, he's wearing the shirt.
Very nice.
Terror Pigeon Dance Revolt, this incredible, psychotic one-man band, got us on the lineup, and it was just... It's up on the coast of Canada. Antigonish. And it was the most amazing... One of the most amazing festivals I've ever been a part of. Very Utopia vibe, very Joshua Tree vibe.
And oh, really yeah, you guys played Utopia back. Fest. Yeah. How was that?
Amazing.
It's a blast. Every year amazing. It's a blast.
Yeah.
We love Utopia Fest.
Best thing to ever come out of Texas.
Yeah. It's at Guy's Ranch, right?
Yeah. Travis Sutherland. Yeah, Travis. Branch, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's
three
cool.
Sisters, I think.
He's been so cool. Goblet, so good to us. Yeah.
Mom and aunt, and who's the other third sister?
Oh my God, they're all amazing. When we play there, like, last year, his aunt comes up and is like, she's amazing. She's just like, I have to introduce you to everyone, and that takes me to, like, the family headquarters. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Like all of like these amazing old grandmothers, and they're so cute. Everybody's so nice. But yeah, it's the vibe there is just like so homey.
That's
and
what it seemed
cozy.
Like, yeah.
It's
yeah.
awesome.
Well, it's like a massive festival put on by, you know, like Onion Creek Productions with these amazing headliners, but at the same time it's this guy's land with
yeah.
you know, his mom overseeing it. So one thing we did once upon a time when we were Circus of the Moon was bring a slip and slide out to the festival. And I'll never forget, like, the first year we did it, his mom coming up and just, like, yelling at Travis, being like, you're wasting our water. And so we shut it down. And then the next year, he's like, bring it back. It'll be fine. And he sends me up to his mom's house to get a hose. She's like, she comes out. Just like, FEMA's like, you better not be here for my hose.
That's a well
like,
water.
Like, getting yelled at by Travis's mom. And it was so funny yeah. and awesome.
That's hilarious.
Or going around and finding people smoking.
Yeah, I had to, like,
call. Grabbing their pipes.
Oh, yeah. She's like, are
like,
you smoking
like,
weed? And I was like, no, ma'am.
She's like, not having
I mean,
like
no offense, but the
Travis.
Poster, I have it over here. It looks like a poster for a festival
well,
that exclusively wants you to smoke weed.
Oh.
At the festival.
I think,
don't tell Travis.
Don't tell Travis. <mom that. laughs>
But it looks like a weed smoking festival.
Yeah.
It might be. No comment.
No.
What about ACL? How was that?
Oh, so crazy. We were like, I think it was kind of a dream day for us. Cause
it was
like,
very surreal.
I think every band in Austin at some point is probably like, man, like, how fucking crazy would it be to play ACL? And, you know, Andrew grew up in Austin, so I think for him especially, ACL has this, like, I don't know, just very,
carries
like,
a lot of clout.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, it's a, yeah. Yeah.
So I think we were just, like, so blown away by the fact that we were even asked to play, and then ended up having a great set. We opened up the festival, which we were really scared about, but people came and were dancing and mm-hmm. excited, and it ended up being magical and awesome. I wish, like, it was over too soon. I was like, how
so
is soon. It already over? Like,
yeah.
You know.
It was a 30-minute set.
And we had, we had a really good run last year with festivals. We played probably 5 or 6 festivals last year, but ACL was just the biggest. It was cool.
It was a totally different level. It was awesome. But, like, they had golf carts and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
they
were
really cute. It was so surreal was awesome. Them not throwing us off stage. I remember walking on there. I was like, all right, here's the part where you tackle me and
like,
kick me out of the festival
like,
for being on this stage. And they're like, what do you need? I was like...
Okay. That's nice. So you're all very happy to be there.
Oh, totally.
You're not, like,
yeah.
over it or,
so
like...
So grateful.
Yeah.
Oh,
and appreciative.
Not over it. Not
You can tell
if
by
I ever
the way
get
you
over
perform,
it,
unless
me.
It was totally fake. Like, you give a lot.
There's very seldom... Do we ever show up and not bring it all? You know, we have to be having a really bad day.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very good to do that.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Yeah,
I think
it. Because even if you're having a bad day and you put that into it,
that's
still
a lot of times.
It's still
having a bad day, and then we play a show, and then it's like, oh,
it changes.
What are we worried about?
Yeah.
Even sometimes at practice, I'm just like, I don't know, something about getting together with. I mean, not that practice doesn't have. I don't want to romanticize it. Practice has its horrible, awful moments, but like. At the same time, like, there are times when I go into practice, like, I can't fucking do this today. And then by the end of it, I'm like, I feel better. I feel happy. I think there's something for us personally that, like, heals us in music. And so I think sometimes people pick up on that and it makes them feel better, too.
Shit, yeah. That's what we're here to do. I mean,
yeah.
ultimately, we're here
right?
to communicate something to people, but ultimately make them feel good.
What an opportunity.
That's what makes us really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's so much better than a job.
Constantly excited to play for whoever, but, you know, new people, especially on the road, new people. I think, like, that's why we bring it every night. It's just like, there's people who have never seen what we do before, and
yeah.
we want to get them excited, so.
Yeah. How was it opening for Polyphonic Spree? I bet you feel like you have a big band until you open
oh,
for them.
Yeah. yeah. We are like
it's
so.
It's like a bureaucracy.
So, yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. They're amazing. They were so kind and nice to us.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, they, like, watched our whole set, like, lined up in the back. And I was just like, man, what nice people. That's,
Tim's always been a
really
nice guy.
That's the kind
guy.
Of
yeah.
people
awesome.
I want to be, you know? It's,
yeah.
They seem like they're doing it for the right reasons.
Even when, what was the band before? Why Am I Drunk a Blank?
German Daisies.
Yeah, even during their kind of like darker eras, I did some shows opening there. It was always really sweet.
Yeah.
He seems like a really genuine, nice guy.
Yeah.
It was fun. We had a blast. And I think, like, that's a band that we just... I always felt like I lined up with them. What?
I just... Do you guys know Jeff Klein from My Jerusalem?
I do not.
Singer from My Jerusalem. We were... I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Sounds super good. I'm excited.
We went to go. It was me and him and Andy Langer went to go see them, and I'd never seen them before. Neither Jeff and Langer was like, "You got to see Tim DeLaurie has this new band. It's like this gigantic band. It's like it's like Godspell." That's what he kept on saying to us. So we go and we see this band. It's outside of Stubbs. It was before they wore the colorful robes.
Yeah,
they were just wearing white robes. And Jeff said, "I'm a Jewish kid from New York. Nothing makes me more upset than like the whole stage with Southern guys in white robes."
Oh man,
that's awesome.
They still have the white robes.
Yeah, they busted the white robes out for a brief time. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and it's even like obviously like triple the funny because that's like so not the vibe they're going.
No, not at all. It was like I gotta go.
Yeah. I'm very uncomfortable right now. Yeah, they were just awesome people. They were fun and really accommodating. I mean, they had all of their gear on stage. And we also have a lot of gear. We thought.
Until you walk by like three xylophones.
Yeah. You're like, oh, okay.
Set up inside of
a heart and like. Yeah. So
do they still have a theremin player?
They did not have a theremin player.
Not at this show, but they rotate. They rotate
their guitar player. Really blew my mind in how much slack he had pulled up. Yeah, no, because, you know, they'd go through, like, having a trumpet player, not having a trumpet player, having a string section, not having it, and the guitarist was like, well, I'll just do that stuff. And so, like, there's parts where he was playing with a violin bow and holding down the string lines, and, you know, he had a special guitar where he took the B string off of it so it could just use the high E string to play all these really cool string lines, and it was really
really innovative. But yeah, they had twin guitars, and they were just like,
we might have the same jazz master.
Like, cool. They were so cute.
What's your jazz master? Is it old?
There's a guy in town called Kim Burley that built it for me.
Oh, really?
And I think he used, like, relic pieces, but he just took, you know, like, an American body, and it's kind of like a Frankenstein thing. It's like a lime green with a gold plate on it. But
oh, nice.
It's got, like, the old... I think it has vintage single coil pickups in it, but I love that thing. It's got such a weird, dirty but clean sound to it.
Yeah.
It's like a broken Stratocaster.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do with keyboards? Like, what do you use on stage?
What doesn't he do with keyboards?
Yeah, what don't you do with keyboards?
I have a Xylosynth, which is a mallet MIDI controller. Basically, like you play like you would play a xylophone or a vibraphone.
Okay.
And I also have like another just like regular keyboard MIDI controller, and I have a Roland sound module that has a whole bunch of sounds on it, and then, you know, I change them up a little bit, control effects and stuff, and just whatever. Usually, you know, especially when we're writing songs, it takes a few minutes for me to listen. I'm like, okay, I got something. And then, whether it's something in the background or some sort of melody or counter melody, usually it pops into my head pretty quick.
That's good.
Yeah,
it's been crazy watching Craig go from like, I mean, when Craig first came, he was like...
I used to play an acoustic instrument.
Yeah, he played the vibraphone.
Like, all electronic, so.
Well, I feel like you really fell into that role, especially after the album, because there was, like Carrie was talking about earlier, there was a day where we were all like, let's make a bunch of food and get drunk, and Craig's like, that's cool, I'm going to go lock myself in this room and write synth parts for the next 12 hours, and we're like...
And he wrote my favorite synth part on the record.
Yeah, and it was awesome. But all this stuff that's like very ambient that you don't necessarily hear, but if you took it out, you would completely feel it. You'd be like, oh, what happened to this song? And he's been continuing that vibe, and it's been a really cool addition to our sound.
Yeah, it's cool.
So is that how you guys work on songs? Somebody has an idea, or somebody writes a complete song, or how does that...
It varies a little bit. Both.
Generally
an idea,
whatever,
I would say. And even if it's a whole song, we try and like strip it down and be like, but this is kind of like what I dig, so what do you dig about it?
Right.
You know, find the best part of the song and try to bring that out.
And all kind of stuff together.
Does that get tense, or is it pretty?
Yeah,
that's good. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. So
yeah,
Yeah, as long as everyone's cool, you know.
That's the thing you have to remember. It's like we have to be kind of like, okay, everybody remember, like, we all have the same goal here. Just like a reminder, no, we're like not on opposing teams. We all have the same goal. Yeah. So,
and it's a very democratic process. So there's six of us. So sometimes it'll be a split down the middle, 3-3. So it can get, gets a little more tense. trying to figure out play order on the album that we came out with.
3-3 was the order.
Figuring
on the
out
album.
The first song on the album was split right down the middle. So we kind of designated some other people to help us decide which song was going to be first.
You bring in, you work with that guy, Paul. He's nice.
Yeah, we have our manager now, yeah. So he helped us. We had our friend Lauren, who's helping us out with publicity stuff.
Lauren
Petrie.
Maybe I know her.
She used to work for Annie Street Art Collective. And
Do okay. Fallon too.
Yeah. I was thinking of this other girl, Lauren, that I saw at the Van Zandt.
She's in LA now.
Okay.
So
yeah. All right.
How is that place?
It's really nice.
Fancy? Yeah.
It's pretty fancy.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's how fancy it is.
They don't tell me about
that. They didn't tell you.
It's a Lynyrd Skynyrd themed hotel downtown.
Oh, I did not know. Wait. Okay. I'm like, okay, we're going now.
Is that Towns Van Zandt?
It's a Towns Van Zandt theme. Actually, yeah, it would be more Towns Van Zandt than Johnny Van Zandt.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ronnie
Van Zandt.
We get down with
Skynyrd from 35.
Yeah, you can see it from our house.
Yeah, I've seen it. They're not going to ever let me in there.
You're just a simple kind of man.
See? And that's why he's the drummer. You can do your own.
Yeah.
It's
a good thing that he can.
No one else will.
I felt the same way when I went in there.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was like that new hotel off South Congress. I've lived in that area for a long time. It's always walked by, and it's so weird. And
I used to walk by like the food standard park. In LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I walk by, and there's like, you know, they have their hotel managers and their suits, and I walk by, and they just look at me, and they're like, "Who are you?"
Well, and that
no, they don't say that. This is what they say because this happens to me all the time because I'm a rock and roll guy, but I love to hang out in fancy hotel bars. Totally, dude. And plus, I mean, I'm 47, and I don't want to go drink $2.
Right.
Beers anymore.
Right.
I just can't.
On 6th, on 36.
No.
$2.
It's like a nice place and just relax.
Yeah.
And feel like a little, you know, cool. Yeah. This is what they say. Can I help you?
Yeah.
Like they see you walking.
Can I help get you out of here?
Can I help you?
Sees you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I reopen that door for you?
It happened to me the other day at the Stephen F. Austin, just on Tuesday. I went up there for a drink and when I came in, the guy was like, can I help you?
Bunch of snooty, shiny shoes.
I'm here for the best happy hour in town.
Go get me a drink.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I will leave the second they go back to regular price, so hurry up.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do it while it's happy hour because I got to turn into a fucking pumpkin.
Oh, I haunted those places a lot. I single-handedly ended, I think, the Driscoll happy hour.
Oh, did you? See, that's another one of my favorite places.
It's a good one.
This is a great one. Yeah. I stopped doing the $5 burger because I know I told everybody about it. Just like riffraff would come and be
dude,
like, 10 burgers!
There is, I mean, you got to give it up. I mean, the Driscoll, like, that place has a room where LBJ watched the 64 election results.
Yeah.
I didn't know
like,
that.
And you're just hanging out
so
having drinks in that same place.
Yeah.
Same with the Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, same thing.
They're
just
old
cool
and really cool.
Yeah, you're like there.
Historical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that hotel
and
we took
at the same time, there's nothing wrong with the White Horse.
Oh.
I enjoy a good White Horse.
Right by their house.
The worst was when we were in D.C. and we met our friend Kate.
Awesome.
And we were taking photos, and she made us go in this hotel. It was like
I took her there. I took all of y'all there. It was the hotel where Martin Luther King finishes. I had a dream speech, and maybe Lincoln wrote something. It's next to the White House, though.
Oh wow,
really cool historic hotel.
It was awesome, and we stroll in there like and take some band
there's
photos.
There's senators and people being interviewed, and,
and there's
know,
like seven of us looking like
one of us was one or two of us was barefoot.
It actually, it actually produced one
my
of
my favorite
photos.
Picture.
We've
yeah,
it's
really
one
of awesome.
Really?
I look like I'm like 15 years
we
old.
We look very Fleetwood Mac in it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's
kind of black and white, kind of got a hue to it. And it's pretty cool.
It's a cool photo, yeah. But I was like,
look at us.
Get me the hell out of here.
Kate took it.
Yeah, Kate's.
She made us look cooler than we actually are.
Yeah, our friend Kate is an amazing photographer.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's funny because I forget that sometimes because there's other people that aren't in entertainment because you can say like, oh, I took this really good photo. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not saying like, hey, I'm the most beautiful person. Right. I mean, you're like, shit, one came out good out of like 700.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, I know what it means, but sometimes you do have to apologize because people are like, who walks around talking about a great picture of themselves? Yes.
No, well, yeah. And when you have a friend like Kate, Kate's like
Kate Blazing,
such an amazing photographer. And she is one of our close friends. And so working with her is like, she always has a way of capturing what's going on in such a way that we all feel good about it.
She knows us and knows our personalities and can deal with all of us, which is nice.
She's wildly talented. Totally.
You guys, I don't know those other two guys, but you guys are really nice people. Oh, like, I really like you.
No, the other guys are
really
jerks.
They're assholes. Yeah, they're glad we just came. No, I'm just kidding. No, you really didn't even get the nice team.
It's true. Get to know us.
I don't know.
Team nice.
I don't know. Andrew and Matt are really nice.
Yeah, when do you guys have any shows coming up? Anytime soon?
Free week. Yeah.
Oh, that's in January.
Yeah, I know.
So you guys aren't going to play until January?
We're going to do some stuff in December. We've been talking. We really love to take our songs and perform them in kind of different ways. And one of the ways we've really grown attached to doing is, it started by busking in New York and stuff, but playing our songs acoustic. And so I think in December we're going to do a couple of things. There's a chance we might do something in my living room. My roommate's an amazing classical jazz pianist, Colin Shook, and his grand piano's in there, and it just makes a really cool vibe. So we might do something there, and maybe an acoustic show somewhere else in town, but other than that.
Will you keep me in the loop on that?
Totally. The acoustic sets are always fun because it's such a different vibe. Yeah. Like, you know, live at our regular sets, there's like synth and pedal boards and
confetti.
And sometimes there's confetti at acoustic
shows. I'm
going to
get a pedal board in the acoustic show.
So the acoustic show is a really fun opportunity to be like, I don't know, there's something about being able to play music that you can play around a campfire. And I like that our music, while it gets away from that really quickly, can also like go back to that and have a similar vibe. Utopia Fest has been, we've done.
Do you guys do some extra campfire sets?
Yeah,
there?
They have a little stage up on the hill that's like
part of Utopia
plywood and a tent and Tank Good Times. The same guy that put on Tank Good Times at Old Settlers Music Festival, which that was their like campsite stage where they would have bands come play. He's now doing that at Utopia Fest, and it's really
very
magical.
Respectful, and people are quiet and want to listen.
Yeah,
and so if you want to go be loud, you can do that over here. But
yeah, there's a recording. I'll send you the recording of that set this year.
How could people find that?
It's on archive.org. If you just search Clive Musicals on archive.org, it'll pop up.
Great job of recording the whole set.
Archive.org.
I guess that's where people get that, because I was listening to your album. I don't know what your other stuff was really like before, but when I was listening to your album, I didn't think folk, but I was reading the reviews and they all said folk.
It's changed a lot, sound-wise.
Well, and I think that, like, we have a folk vibe. I think the...
Yeah.
It's more...
You live in a van?
I'll live in a van, be a folk singer.
That's just dirty hippie, isn't it?
But, you know, I think as much as we do... are doing more like psychedelic aspects of music, like there's still a lot of the songs have this folk quality to them. It's like storytelling, and like the vibe of the show feels very like we're all in this together, which I think is kind of a folk vibe. So I think that's where that comes from. It's definitely not like you can't call it like psychedelic rock because it's not psychedelic rock. So I think psychedelic party folk is a fun...
That's a good way to say
it. It kind of like throws everything in there.
It almost stems from like... I feel like all the songwriters in the band write folk songs.
Yeah.
Like that's how it is. Like Carrie will bring a folk song to us and Matt will bring a folk song. And then when we get our hands on it, like the whole band together, even if everybody was thinking folk about it, by the time we get done with the rehearsal, like, well, that's not a folk song at all anymore.
Yeah.
But it's almost like our backbone. Which is
That's good, though, because that means the songs are good. You strip them down, they're still good songs.
Yeah.
That's what we hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was what one thing Kevin talked about is, like, our first step with him was sending him a ton of acoustic demos. And he's like, any good song, you should be able to play on one instrument and voice. So that was, like,
that's
where
how
we
I was
started
brought
with
up.
That one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, you got to... And I know when I go to... You know when someone says, "Oh, play me a song," and you're like, "Oh yeah," and you're like, "Oh, let me just play the recording."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a St. Vincent interview where she was talking about her Strange Mercy, that album, and she was like, that was the first time I really sat down and was like, I want to be like Neil Young. I'm going to sit down and like write this album on guitar. So she wrote it all on guitar and then went in and did all the production, whereas before she did a lot of the, like, was very into like production and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
she would start with all the production as she went. But, you know, she's
sometimes
like,
that's fun, but
yeah.
You can lose a song that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. There's another end to it, though. Like, it's not something we do, but there's a lot of artists that I love and respect. Like,
oh, totally.
Dan Deacon or Grimes, and you couldn't put those songs on an acoustic guitar, but they're just so heady and strange.
Speaking of which, like, what are the bands like? Do you guys feel like you're part of a scene here in Austin? It's interesting. I just had the Sims Foundation was in here right before you, and they did this whole big record and the Austin scene and all this stuff, and I've lived here and played for a long time, and I was like, wow, you know, I wonder what it's like now for newer bands coming up. Do they feel like they're part of something? Do they have a group of people that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, things like Utopia Fest and stuff like that, it absolutely feels like there's a real community here, and it's why I've met them, you know, it's why I'm a part of this band, it's why I even play music. I moved to Austin to be a journalist, and
really?
This whole scene just sucked me in, you know, whatever it means that the scene is. And
that's
and
cool.
So
where were you going?
Ones.
Like, what
the plan
were
was
places?
The Austin Chronicle. I wanted to do print for Austin Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, you know, my buddy's like, well, when you get here, like, we're going to make a band. I was like, yeah, maybe. He's like, no, we're making a band, like, day one. And then all of a sudden, we're playing music 8 hours a day.
Where were you playing? Like, where was
you know
the
Metropolis? There are these
apartments.
Awesome.
Down.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. It's a place for, like, vagabonds and artists to just hang out and do whatever they want. But it's those multicolored apartments off Pleasant Valley and Riverside. And there's, like, the rule when I moved in there was if you file noise complaints, you are evicted. So it was really, really cool.
Oh,
and
cool.
People play music all times a day, and I just got really sucked into it. But it's hard to tell. Like, you know, what does that even mean, like, the scene in Austin? Because some people are like, oh, the scene's dying, the scene's growing. I'm just like, there's, like, a million things going on in this town.
That's
you know?
What
like,
I
there's
mean,
the Continental
yeah.
Club scene and, like, the blues people and the jazz people and indie
there's,
rock.
There's a lot of scenes I feel... think that we feel like we're part of the fabric of
yeah.
the whole Austin.
That's
scene,
a good
maybe.
Way to say it. I mean, do you and guys go to Continental Club and mm-hmm. see stuff? And yeah,
we go all over town,
all
pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
there's plenty of places to go.
It's not
shows.
Like a their place and our place kind of thing,
yeah. right?
Like
it's like everybody in it together to make music.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like that now than it was in the like it's better on that level than it way better than it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like in the 90s it was almost like segregated.
Yeah. Well, you probably
like,
had
oh, you
the
play
punk
that
rock
club,
scene.
You can't play this
yeah.
club,
such
you know.
Shit. I was
yeah.
reading a David Byrne's book, How Music Works, and he was talking about that and he'd be like, you know, they have their he had like a punk rock club that they would play at, and there's another one that was more like classical folk, and in his book he took pictures of the patrons and he was like, look, these are the same people. They're all wasted, they're all screaming at the front. It's just different music.
Yeah.
Like we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But I also
yeah.
feel like maybe the scenes... Do you feel like the scenes maybe going somewhere else? Like, everyone's like, this is the live music capital of the world. Do you feel like
well,
we're on the tail end of that, or...?
No, I feel like it's a very unique thing that a lot of importance way before my bands... A lot of importance, just like in the 70s, was put on the bands and musicians, and there were guys that created a scene, like that Cosmic Cowboy thing...
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, all those weird, like, weed-smoking cowboys,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, made this style of music, and then it went somewhere. Like, it went out to the world.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, even, you know, guys like Jerry Jeff and people like that were really big at one point, you know.
And Nashville didn't want it, so they brought it
and
here.
Nashville didn't want it, and it yeah. became, like, this thing. And then in the 80s, there was a lot of really cool, like, singer-songwriter stuff that started coming out, and a lot of, like, new wave stuff, fucking Daniel Johnston and you know
people like that
and who else and then like in the 90s yeah I mean I feel like I feel like there wouldn't be things like there's no things like there's no infrastructure of a music scene in any other city to support something like Sims and Ham
mm-hmm. right.
where you actually
no,
have
not,
doctors
yeah.
that cut their rates because they love music and
yeah.
they want musicians
really cool.
to be like that's just not something you can imagine really happening
right.
like in Houston
right.
in
right.
a way. And I don't mean that bad in
no.
any way. They just, this is like really
it,
one of the only, you have to have sort of that music scene infrastructure to do that. And this
totally.
One, so much placement has been put, you know, so much importance has been placed on it that I think that I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, I think live music in general, like, there's so much shit people can do. Yeah. Like, while I was asking you guys, like, how do you put out a record in 2016 and have anyone matter? How do you get anyone to make, like, I mean, obviously you guys have found a way to be, like, so, like, A, your music's really great, but B, you take this other level, like, you're going to go there and, like, have something happen to you that's not going to happen somewhere else at a show. So you have found, like, a really unique key, and that's a great thing. But it's hard for everyone, you know?
I think it's more of just, I don't think the scene's changing. I think where people can afford to live is changing.
Yeah.
And so that maybe affects it a little bit.
Like a lot, like it's not the only thing to do anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's just not. You can do more fucking shit on your phone that you already are paying for than you can going to the Mohawk or going to Hotel Vegas and seeing, you know, four bands.
Yeah.
And the charm of that, you know, it's weird, but it can't, like, things have to change and the, you know, they come back around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it's super empowering, though, what you're talking about, how the town truly supports live music.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're saying we try and do stuff differently at show. I wonder if we were in another city, if we would even have, like, the cojones to try and do stuff like that. You know, like, would we go in and just play rock and be like, well, we could do more, but, like, it's hard enough just trying to do this. And in Austin, it's like, everyone's like, yeah, be weird, do that. Yeah, you know, like, keep being crazy.
And maybe in another city, you know, you wouldn't have had, not, like, the healthy competition,
right,
to want to do that.
Oh, there's a lot,
to think,
there's a
like
lot
to do that.
So much competition.
That's the best
and also
part.
playing in New York, playing in LA,
yeah,
those are the people that they kind of can just stand there and they do this, and I don't know if we would have been able to
push past that
and breed the creativity that we have,
mm-hmm,
and be colorful and be vibrant if everyone's wearing their leather jacket and their jeans and standing there. And then after the show, they say that was the greatest thing they ever saw, but they don't move and they don't. There's no reaction.
You're like, you're getting nothing back.
And
like,
it's just the bartender
God.
Who's left who's saying that. So, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, I just lost exactly what I was going to say, and it was worded right too. I hate it when I do that.
That's
I know. It is the worst.
I feel like I've done it 10 times in the last 10 minutes.
Have you?
Yeah. Story of my life.
Well, I don't know. I think I want to see you guys. So invite me to an acoustic show, and I'll come to a electrified show.
Totally. We'll let
you
know.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Sorry. It all came rushing back, and it was worded right. I think you guys are doing the right thing, because I think what happens is that this music scene is so fertile and so happening that sometimes people can't. Like, you guys are doing the right thing, I think, by getting out and going and recording other places and, you know, still maintaining being a person in this scene, but also getting out of it, too, think is really important.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, and it's been fun for us because it's just been an adventure. I mean, my mom the other day was like, I don't know anyone who has traveled as much as you have traveled. And it hadn't really occurred to me, but, like, yeah, in the last couple of years, like, we've been so many places. We've been hiking. We've met people. We've been to all these festivals.
It's cool as shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have, like, I feel like I just have learned more in the last 2 years than I've learned my whole life, because it's just, like, this constant influx of, like, new experiences and new environments.
And we've hit 40 states and Canada twice in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been fun.
That's awesome.
It's been really fun.
It's nice. You make new friends.
That's
you
great.
Meet all kinds of really beautiful people
all
over the world.
Just, like,
some of the best
we get
people.
To experience it with
and
our
it's
friends.
Awesome. Yeah, now it's like we see a festival, like, get a festival lineup that we're going to be playing. We're like, oh, yeah, they're going to be there. They're going to be there.
Yeah,
and it's really fun. You know, we get to see our friends. We ran into Sphinx. I know you're a Sphinx fan, but we ran into them in Tulsa, and it was like,
and Colorado.
We haven't been able to
and
Colorado. Colorado. We haven't been able to manage to, like, play a show together in Austin, but of course we, like, run into each other at these festivals, like Utopia Fest, Colorado, Tulsa. It's just, like, it's fun.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest things about music to me today is it kind of just, I've kind of gone on a binge, I think we all have, of just reading, like, a lot of music history lately.
Yeah.
Especially when people influence
there's
a lot
of available now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting really a lot more prolific with podcasts like this. And it seems like back in the day, like, what you're talking about, like, healthy competition was a big vibe of it. But I don't even know if it's necessarily competition anymore, because it's just, like, the We're All In This Together vibe has gotten stronger, it seems, on like the national circuit and just in Austin, because there'll be a band that could consider, you know, us competition, we consider them competition, but we love them and we'll see them at our show and they're just like dancing with us. And
maybe competition is the wrong word, but whatever it was that, like, say the Beatles did, like with Rubber Soul, and then all of a sudden that Brian Wilson was like, shit, and made Pet Sounds.
Yeah.
And then Paul McCartney heard that and was like, shit, and made Sergeant
Pepper. Yeah. I think healthy competition is...
And they were bros the whole time, sending each other their records.
If you look at it, we're all in one giant band.
Yeah. Well, and
then it's...
The Stones and the Beatles used to trade off releasing singles, so they wouldn't drop them at the same time. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
There's enough for everybody. Mm-hmm.
There is enough for everybody. Well, all right, so... People can go and find you guys at CalliopeMusicals.com. You're on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud. Is there any other medium that you're on?
Spotify.
Real life.
Spotify.
IRL.
What's the free P going to be on?
The best medium is life.
Yeah, the free P is going to be on Noise Trade, which is like a thing where you sign up for emails. We don't really send out emails as diligently as we should, but we only send out the important stuff.
Yeah, which means we won't fill your mailbox up with spam.
Okay. We just want to like let you know when something.
When we're coming to town,
our first newsletter is coming out in 2025. And I'm super
pumped it's gonna be awesome.
We'll do like a monthly newsletter kind of thing.
It's a stupid joke.
Yeah.
So you do a monthly newsletter?
No, we
we're going to. Yeah. We talk about it every month.
We talk about it every month. We do a like verbal newsletter.
The time that we spend talking about it every month, we could actually work on the newsletter.
If you come it to seems like you could actually Monday through Wednesday to practice. You can catch the newsletter.
At this day and age, in this day and age, you could just film the newsletter.
Yeah.
Put it out in like a 1 minute, you know, like almost like a news.
Out right now.
That's a good idea. We have
oh my God, do we have to pay you money now every time we do that? Like, do we owe you
I'll talk
million
to Paul. You guys I don't want to get you guys.
Let's work
you
it out with Paul. We don't need money.
Sometimes we take payment in pizza, so
we do.
We have done that.
They're not speaking for the band.
We do. I'm a musician too, so I do. You know, I take.
We once took pizza at our merch booth, and I was rich in pizza for a moment,
an hour,
time, and it was awesome.
Do you guys have shirts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have shirts, and we have refrigerator magnets.
Make sure she was wearing a shirt.
Well, that's
you could have worn a shirt to the
interview. That was my first thought. Was like, am I wearing a shirt? Is this
am I wearing a shirt right now?
From now on, we all have to wear our shirts to interviews.
Yeah. Oh, I should have brought you a shirt. I'll bring you a shirt. Okay. Not to the interview, because that already happened. I'll bring you a shirt.
I have a really dirty
Okay.
You don't want Chris's. It's like got holes in it.
I don't want your funky ass shirt.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the funk.
Our friend Neil sells his shirts off of his back, which is pretty epic. As far
really?
As band merch goes. He'll
he doesn't
like,
bring a bag.
He brings one shirt on tour, and when we tell him to take that off, he just puts merch on. And then when he sells all the merch, he just goes,
awesome.
That's Metallica style. Mm-hmm. Like those guys are always wearing their own shirts.
Terra Pigeon Dance Revolt is very Metallica style.
If
you like Metallica, check out Terra Pigeon Dance Revolt.
I will.
Good plug.
I like Metallica.
I think Neil's going to craft your Metallica really. For that.
They were good. They're all right now.
I mean, they're still
Metallica
doing it. Fuck.
They're still getting after it. No, totally. I've never seen them live. Which crushes me a little bit, but yeah. I just saw Tool live for the first time last year, and it was awesome.
Oh, wow.
I sat in my car and sang Freddie Mercury and waited for him to get out.
There was one ticket left.
It was also awesome.
And
she wanted to go.
I had scalped the ticket. I wanted to go really, really bad.
Go ahead.
No, but I got the last ticket that was out being scalped.
Lucky man.
Yeah.
Who's the drummer of Tool?
Danny Carey.
He's awesome.
He's amazing. Yeah. He has to ice down his knees. He's like 50 now. Just to ice down his knees after every show.
Start asking him now, so
right? Just
have
get ahead of the game.
About later, yeah.
But I mean,
put him down soon.
He's no Josh Bickley. So
he is no Josh Bickley.
Well, you know.
What about? Are you a Lars Ulrich fan?
Growing up, I was. Yeah. You know, Lars was really awesome when he was coming up because he was the man, and that was fast metal back then. You know.
Yeah.
And I think the Napster thing put a little bad taste in my mouth, but he's still a great drummer. Yeah.
That ruined fourth grade
well,
for me.
Well, you know, we're making
you
no money because of
grade?
Napster.
Something like that.
When, that
when they shut down Napster, it was like fourth or sixth. Or
no,
yourself.
You weren't.
Jesus Christ, how old
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, you were probably in fourth grade.
I think
I was downloading music off Napster in fourth grade question.
They shut it down. I remember because I stayed home from school and burnt CDs all day. When I'm like, this is the end of peer-to-peer chain. Like, you know.
Nope, just the beginning.
Little did you know.
No more money for
no
anybody.
No stealing. We do not endorse stealing. I'm sorry.
You can steal our music.
That's not
it's
true.
Okay.
I endorse
you
it.
Can steal
every
our
album
music.
Ever
steal
it's for
our
everybody.
Music.
Or, like I said, give us pizza.
Or give us pizza.
As long as you show every up. With
yeah, I love the yes. story that Amanda Palmer told about the guy that comes to her show and is like so excited to be at her show, and he like comes up to her and he's like, hands her $10, and he's like, I burned your CD. I just wanted you to have this. I'm like, that's the greatest
that's pretty nice.
Thing ever.
Yeah,
I love that. If everyone did that, it'd be pretty bad.
I owe Amanda Palmer $10.
Yeah. I don't.
I think I'll tell her.
I owe her a
it's
hug.
True. If I get the like honor to meet her, I will genuinely.
Craig owes her
bucks.
A pizza. Or at least
Craig
a slice.
Oh, yeah, we just show just up and give her pizza.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sure you two accept for payment in the form of pizza.
We gotta get you a gong.
You too? The band?
Oh, yeah. I would,
oh, yeah,
they'd
totally.
Be into it as well.
That's a band that works mostly for pizza.
Bono loves just like cuddling up with Zaw. I'm like, on the couch. And his cat's like, can I have a bite? And he's like, absolutely not.
Edge, cut me more pizza.
Edge.
Chris,
I need another slice.
Chris loves the edge.
So there's that gong that Tool has. Like,
bong?
We got the gong. Oh. I'm sure they have a bong too, but they have that giant gong behind him.
Yeah.
That was always the most impressive part of their show. He'd be like drumming, and then he'd put one stick under his shoulder and throw the other one above his head and hit the gong and come
good.
Back right in time. Gotta get you one
that's
of those.
That's cool.
That's one of those things
move.
That
isn't it a good move?
You see,
exactly
I've seen
like
drummers.
That. You gotta punch Chris on the way though.
I've seen drummers on stage before with the big gong and the big. Spiral cymbal that's 15 feet long and comes down and they hit it like one time.
Yeah,
it looks super cool,
but it's integral to the
one
sound.
Time.
There's two dudes that have to load it in. And
yeah,
out every
yeah.
Night
those
like
two guys watch him. Yeah,
one he hits
he
it
finishes
twice.
It.
You know he hits it twice.
Yeah,
just twice the whole
like,
night.
You know he didn't even hit it tonight. Like, yeah, I wasn't feeling it.
My favorite is watching it, like looking at. Like an overhead shot of Neil Peart's drum set.
Oh
and we've,
God.
Like, I don't know how he gets, I guess, does he, we don't know if he gets, like, lifted into the middle of his set or if there's, like, some path that he has to, like,
there's, like, a hydraulic lift that brings him just right
an
up into the middle.
Do you think if you added a drum to his drum kit, he'd even notice? Like, I doubt he'd know.
Or either that or he'd be like,
took some away.
He would know.
Yeah. Yeah,
he sees it in the grid.
He's
probably
has
like,
drums that he's never hit.
One A is different than it used to be.
Neil Peart hits all drums all the time, all at once.
And that's
even when he's just sleeping.
How good he is.
He's. Thank you guys for coming. Colliding Musicals. Find them at collidingmusicals.com. Thank you so much. Right, Calliope Musicals, man, I want to thank them for coming by. You can find out all about them at calliopemusicals.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find their music on Bandcamp. Pick it up. Time Owes You Nothing, their newest album, which was recorded at the legendary Sound City Studios with producer Kevin Algunas, will be available in April of 2016, although they will be releasing some singles before then. So, you know, get out there to Calliope Musicals and get involved with them. Great. Thank you guys for coming by. Fantastic conversation. Those guys are super entertaining. I hope that Carrie's knee gets better because it was pretty effed up when she was here. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can find us on all of the places where you find a podcast, including Stitcher, your iPhone podcast app, Pod Directory, tons of places. Just look it up. How did I get here? Subscribe. You get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, all right? I want to thank Calliope Musicals for coming by. Great conversation. Let's hear some more music from them. I hope that you have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Running on the trail, driving in your car, hanging with your band, listening to this with your family while you eat dinner. Sorry for all the cussing. Have a great, great day. Let's get down.
Just for you.